Help, Sophia's talking about love again. Hi guys, it's Sophia. Welcome to Life on Audio. So I guess I do little intros before I get into my actual intro now. I don't know what that is about, but it just felt the need to do that. In fact, actually, when I first started this podcast, I was like, that's how I'm going to start every episode. Like I'll have a little snippet that like basically introduces it, but it's kind of funny too. And I think I might have done it once or twice and I was like, this is kind of stupid. So then I stopped doing it. Anyways, hi, you're getting two episodes in a row from me, except the funny thing is I have edited most of the episode that comes out before this. And today's a Friday and I usually post on Fridays. And I was like, today's the day. Today's the day I'm going to figure out my password and I'm going to log back in and I'm going to post this episode. And then I did most of this editing like in one day. And I think that was actually, it might've been yesterday or Wednesday. No, it was yesterday. So anyways, I was like, yeah, I'm going to just finish the rest of it tomorrow and then I'm going to get it out there at 8 p.m. And today comes around and I think it was like an hour or so ago, I randomly thought about it and I was like, oh wait, didn't I say I was going to get that episode out? And then I was like, it's already past 8. So in theory, can I post it whenever? Absolutely. But then I might as well just wait until next week. And this is a slippery slope because it's probably going to be another next week, next week, next week until I'm like, wait, this isn't even relevant anymore. Like my life has changed drastically. I have to refilm that video or re-record that video. And then this video is probably not video. Why do I keep saying video? Because I'm not used to doing podcast episodes anymore. Until this podcast episode, I'm just like, okay, never mind. Throw it into the trash. Like that's never seeing the light of day. So not looking great. I'm so sorry, guys, because I feel like some people actually liked listening to my podcast, which is nice. I think I probably lost all those people in the process. I would get fed up about not having your thing, your regular thing, come out anymore. Fair enough. I think people would also get fed up at me a little, maybe not fed up, but kind of concerned for me if I just disappeared from the internet and stopped posting videos regularly. So at least you guys know I'm alive if you follow me on, you know, the social platforms. But yeah, sorry. But then also the thing is like, I can never promise that there's going to be another episode after this one. Last week I was like, I can't promise I'm gonna have another episode after this one. I'm kind of just like wading back in, but I'm not fully committing to this again. Now we're having another episode, yay, but no promises. So sorry. Also, I had my fan on and then I turned it off and you know what? The fan's not going to be on unless I like overheat. I might overheat, but it's fine. I just took like a shower. So I feel kind of cool right now. I've been cooled down, even though it was a warm shower. I don't know. Anyways, all right, let's get into the topic of the day. So earlier this week, I had therapy as I usually do. Monday afternoon, I had actually not realized that I had therapy until I got like a little reminder an hour before. And I was like, wait, seriously? Because I had therapy on Thursday the week before. And when I saw that reminder, I was like, oh shoot, it's too late to cancel. But I kind of feel like this is pointless because nothing's changed. And honestly, just like a little side tangent here, I have been starting to think about whether it's worth still seeing my therapist, at least on a regular basis, because I do really like her. And I will say, like, I've done this before. I had a therapist when I was in high school that I was seeing regularly for a couple of months and it was great. And like, then I felt cured, you know, or like all of my mental burdens had been talked about. So I was like, all right, I'm like a blank slate now. Come at me, life. And I stopped seeing him. And then I started kind of like having some problems again, or I just like felt the need to talk to someone. See him like every so often, like not on a regular basis, but like kind of randomly, like here and there when I needed to talk to someone. But it's never the same after you leave them, or like after you like kind of break the relationship. And so I'm like, I don't want to necessarily do that because I do really like my therapist. She's great. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, I don't know. I feel like it's not, like I really needed it when I first went to her. But now I'm kind of like, life's been good. And obviously life's probably been good partially because I've been going to therapy. Like I can admit that. But now I'm like, life's good. I'm not really seeing how productive this could be going forward. Like, sure, we can do a couple more sessions, but then like, then what? You know, like something really big has to happen in my life for we need new drama. And I just don't really see new drama coming to the surface anytime soon. Anyways, back to the actual topic. So I have therapy and of course I hop on and I'm like, oh, hi. So I actually have nothing to talk about. And she was like, okay, well, when this happens, we talk about the topics that we've been working on. And I was like, the topics we've been working on, like, what are those? those topics. And then she asks me a question and I'm like, oh, those topics. Got it. Okay. And it was a little hit. I was like, great. Because it was one of those things where it's like, yes. In the past, I would like to think that this is done and over with, but in the past, yes. Has it consumed my mind? Absolutely. Have I talked about it in therapy? Yes. Is it consuming my mind right now? No. Has it consumed my mind in a while? No. So like, don't really want to talk about it because it's just one of those things I want to kind of like forgive and forget. Like I want to forgive myself for having ever thought about it and then I want to forget. And now you're bringing it up and that's not letting me forget this whole thing. Great. So now we're bringing it back to the surface. And you know what happens when we bring it back to the surface? Then I start thinking about it more. Good. I probably should have just been like, can we not talk about that? Actually, you know what? That would have been a brilliant idea. But I kind of just looked at her and was like, oh, yeah, I mean, I guess that's something that I have struggled with before. Anyways, somehow that topic then gets into this. All of a sudden, and mind you, like I went into it so content. I was like, I'm so at peace with life. Life is so good. I have no problems, blah, 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 blah. Tears are welling up in my eyes. And I'm like, what is going on right now? I think in all of our therapy sessions, there's been like one other therapy session where I had some tears welling up and it was like talking about my mom. And that's, you know, like reasonable. This, I was racking my brain and I was like, why am I having an emotional reaction to this right now? Like, this is not something that bothers me really ever. Like, do I think about it sometimes? And I'm like, you know, like, yeah, that would be nice. Sure. Have I maybe sometimes felt like that little like feeling inside of you where your like heart is swelling and you're like, you know, yeah, sure. Okay. But like, this is not a hot topic on my mind. Like I think about it from time to time. Duh. I was just confused about the emotional reaction. I was like, this is so not me. Tears don't just well up in my eyes. That doesn't happen to me. Either I'm really frustrated or like tired. That's it. And I'm neither right now. I am content. Why are tears welling up in my eyes? And essentially the topic we were talking about was, well, like somehow whatever topic we were first talking about transitioned into me being like, yeah, well, I guess I do wish that I had love in my life. And like when I'm saying this, I'm like, this thought appears in my mind 5% of the time. So like 95% of the time, I'm good. Then there's like that 5% where I'm like, oh, you know, it would be nice to have someone, or like, oh, it would be nice to go on a date, or oh, it would be nice to like kiss someone. Like, you know, I'll see something and I'm like, oh, wait. I'll have that little like swell moment, like that little heart swelling moment. I'm like, oh, like kind of miss that feeling, or like I kind of wish I could experience that right now. And then it goes away. Or like sometimes I think about it a little bit more, but then like obviously it goes away at some point. Like this is not all consuming. And so I was confused as to why all of a sudden tears are welling up, but whatever, I start talking about it. And of course, like from the way that I'm talking about it, I'm like in a way trying to get defensive. I feel like, okay, maybe this is just me, but I feel like as a single person, you are not allowed, you're looked down on if you express that you would like to have someone in your life, which is like so silly because the people that generally look down on you are people who are in relationships. And like, it's so normal to crave that human connection. We all have that. Okay. It's not like some of us have it and some of us don't. We all crave human connection in different forms. And the romantic form is just one of them. And it is totally normal that if that is void, that you're going to crave it. At least from time to time, maybe not always, but from time to time. Obviously, there's some people who crave it a ton. There's some people who crave it not so much. I don't think I crave it a ton, but it's definitely something that crosses my mind. And I'm not gonna like sit here and lie to you guys and be like, I never think about having someone in my life and I never think about love. No, I ultimately am a hopeless romantic and I have been for over a decade now. I mean, since I can go back like 11, 12 years old, I've been dreaming about being in love. So I am a hopeless romantic who is trying to fight those feelings because I recognize that I am maybe not chronically single, but I am single and I don't really see myself not being single anytime soon. And I have to just sort of accept that. And I think I've done a pretty good job at that. I also, in more recent times, have learned to decenter men. In college, I was quite boy, okay, at least at the beginning of college, not all of college, but especially at the beginning of college, I was quite boy crazy. Then I got into a relationship. Then I got out of that relationship, and I got out of that relationship, I had realized, like, I'd never properly dated before, like casually dated, going on dates. And I had a lot of interest in experiencing that. And so I did that for a while. And then finally, at some point, I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a little break. Like, I can always come back to this later, but for now I'm good. And so I started this break, and kind of naturally, like, the whole decentering men thing happened. But I eventually just got to a point where I was like, and honestly, I am so content with my life as it is. If no one were to ever come into my life, I know I would be fine. I know I would be fine. And it's not a mission of mine to try and find someone. I don't feel that that is ultimately one of the big things that I want to achieve in life. I mean, like, do I obviously hope that I fall in love again? Yeah, in a way. But I'm also like, I'm okay with the idea of not, and I'm not trying to chase after that. But I also think, I don't know, I feel like the moment you start talking about this kind of stuff, and I know because I like talk about this on TikTok, and then I automatically get people kind of coming at me. I feel like people have this idea like, oh, decentering men, for example, like you cannot think about them ever. Like that's kind of like the notion. And I think that's really silly because it's like, I think you can decenter men and then also have that personal craving from time to time to have someone in your life, to have that human connection. And it goes beyond, oh, it's a man or like whatever gender you're attracted to. Okay, let's say we're decentering whatever gender you're attracted to. Like, it's not about the fact that they're a man. It's the fact that you just crave that human connection. And I would say that like the human connection that you get from a romantic relationship is always going to be different from the human connection you get from any other relationship. Now, are there crossovers or like overlaps? Absolutely. But I think in every kind of relationship, there is something unique about that that cannot necessarily be matched in a different kind of relationship. Like a familial relationship is different from a friendship relationship. And a friendship relationship, although I think there's a lot of crossover between friendship and relationship actually, is different from a romantic relationship. And what a friend can provide you, or certain things that a friend can provide you, a significant other cannot, and vice versa. And certain things that a family can provide you, a significant other cannot, a friend cannot, and vice versa, you know, like that kind of stuff. So I don't think that there's anything wrong with like, okay, having decentered men, but then still, you know, occasionally being like, it would be nice to have someone, it'd be nice to be in a romantic relationship. That's something I think about. So that's something I crave. I don't think that means that like, oh, you all of a sudden have centered men. I think centering men in your life is like when you're actively making it your mission to like, it's like you need a man in your life. Like you need one, and that's kind of your mission. And like a lot of the things that you do, like the way that you act, the way that you dress, the way that you interact with people, that kind of stuff is influenced by that mission. But I'm also going to say, like, I don't think that's, there's anything wrong with that. Like I definitely went through a period of my life where I very much had the topic of like a man, men, well, they were more boys because we were quite young, on my mind. And I guess in a way, like I did act for the male gaze because I went from like nothing in high school to then going boy crazy. And like I had to go boy crazy to come to this point in my life where I was like, okay, and that all doesn't matter to me anymore. This is actually what's important to me. I have a better grip on myself, and I also have a better grip of what I would want from someone who's coming into my life. And that is good and important to me. And like I'm glad that I finally reached that. But like I wouldn't have reached all of that if I hadn't gone through that boy crazy phase. Like I had to go through that. Okay. So like I don't think that there's something bad about having that experience or having that, I guess, mindset, because it teaches you something ultimately. Like if you can come out of it, it's going to teach you something big. And I really think that every experience, I mean, maybe not for everyone, but I feel like at least in my life, I can say like every experience is ultimately a learning lesson that drives me to understanding myself and the world more. I say this a lot. You guys know. Anyways, okay. So back to like me in therapy kind of welling up. I leave and I'm sort of like, what was that? And then I'm thinking about it a little bit more and I'm like, if I was having such an emotional reaction to something that I didn't really think, you know, bothered me in any way, maybe I should think about this a little bit more. And by think about it, I mean like maybe I should make an attempt to do something about this instead of just letting it sit, because I've never seen myself like that, or at least not recently. Okay, I haven't seen myself like that recently around that topic. And I could be like, it was just kind of a momentary thing, but it's a momentary thing that kind of left me wondering, like, why? Why did I feel so emotional about this when generally it doesn't bother me that way? And so that leads us to quote unquote the pursuit of love. Now, have I made any actions to pursue anything? No. But like I said, this whole thing left me thinking. And I think the frustration, like, there was also a day a little while back where I was like, you know what would be really fun? Going on a date. I was like, it's been such a long time. Oh, okay, wait. I meant to kind of explain this a little bit. For reference, it's also been a while since I've properly dated. So the last time I was quote unquote properly dating was at the end of 2023. Now, did I have some experiences with the male species in 2024? Yes, I did. But I wouldn't count any of those as, like, I don't even know what I would call them. They weren't flings. They weren't properly dating, in my opinion. They weren't like really properly getting to know each other. I feel like every situation, I think properly dating is when you go into it with an open mind and you're not already closing off, or you're not already deciding the ending, essentially. What I was experiencing in 2024 was, like, nearly all of these experiences, the ending was already dictated before anything could even start. For example, very famously, I'll just bring this up, not that I want to talk about him, but I'm going to bring this up just for to explain this, or to give, like, an example that'll make sense. SD Man. Before we could even, like, kind of properly start talking, we already explained to each other what we were quote-unquote looking for. And what we were looking for was nothing, essentially. Like, he was like, I don't want to be with anyone. And I was like, I mean, I'm not opposed, but I'm not really seeing how this could be that either. And so we essentially said, like, whatever this is going to be purely casual and there will be an end date to it. And of course, in my mind later on, then I was like, oh, but like, actually, I think what I want is something that's not casual, but it's already casual. And like, we've already dictated this. And I tried to kind of spin it in my head. And then I was like, wait, no, but this is never going to be that. Because remember that conversation we had? Yeah. Same thing with, like, it was that guy in New York City that I kissed. Like, I kissed him right before I left the city. It was clear, like, that was going nowhere. There was a guy in June that I had a little crush on, but I was like moving a week later. Like, I met him. I mean, we'd been sort of sending messages back and forth, not like, I wouldn't say talking, but just like in contact with each other for a couple of months. But I didn't meet him until exactly a week before I left LA. And I knew, I'm moving out of LA. Then what? Nothing. Like, so funny, because it was always like in these situations where it was like an ending was always set. It was either because I was disappearing somewhere, or I don't know, like, it was already going to be a temporary situation. Okay, it was like, there was this one guy in, okay, we're going through all of them. Wow. I haven't even thought about them in a while. I had totally forgotten about this guy. And then I think I thought about him randomly yesterday or the day before. Anyways, in March, there were these four different instances. So I just covered three. In March of last year, so exactly a year ago, I approached this guy, gave him a number. I was like, hey, you're cute. He ended up responding to me and kind of invited me on like a date. So that's the last date that I've been on, proper date. Okay. Like, something that's actually marked as a date. Anyways, with that, it was literally, we were at the end of the quarter. I think I was like 2 weeks out from graduating and then leaving. And like, obviously I still had a connection to LA because I still had my apartment there. And like, I was like, yeah, I'm going to be back. So if we were to even like do something casual, but he was already kind of like, you're leaving and that's it. And I was like, okay, got it. So like, this is also not even a possibility. So that's essentially how last year went. So the last time I had like an open-ended, we'll just see where it goes, we're not putting a label on this already before it's even started, was 2023, which is a while ago now. Okay. So I think, like, obviously sometimes I think about dating and I'm like, it would be nice to be able to like go back into experiencing that open-ended thing where it's not like, and this is the end date, or like, this is the end of that. It will always end like this because there's no possibility for anything else. But the frustration that I experience every time I think this is the fact that I don't know how to date. And when I mean I don't know how to date, I don't know how to date organically. And it's funny because, like, for funsies, for funsies the other week or something like that. I was like texting my friend and we were just talking about dating. And I decided, I was like, you know what? Let me just look this up. Let me try and do some research and just see what the internet has to say. And so I look up how to organically date. And of course, a bunch of like articles pull up. And I start reading through them. And the thing is, all of them say essentially the same thing, and it's kind of all common sense. The best way that I can summarize what all of these articles are trying to say is just live your life, and supposedly eventually you're supposed to meet someone. And that's discouraging for me because I've been living my life. Now, to be fair, okay. And I was thinking about this in the shower and I was like, can I even talk? Because this might sound ridiculous. Okay, to be fair, the first 6 months that I was living at home, first off, the idea of entertaining any relationship, anything, was a no-go for me because I was like, I'm not dating while I'm home, blah, blah, whole thing, right? Like, and then also I was like, eventually I'll leave and then I can open myself up to dating and all of that. But also, I wasn't living life, as in I wasn't really, obviously I was living life, okay, I've been alive, but I mean, I kind of wasn't like putting in the effort to live life, like to experience life, to go out, to do things. The guides say, well, the first thing is like, okay, become a regular somewhere. Like that's always a tip. It's like become a regular somewhere, like become a regular at a coffee shop or become a regular at a library or something like that, because familiarity increases your chances of, I guess, being approached or like finding someone, you know, that you have something in common with, whatever, something like that. I have been doing that. Okay. I have like a coffee shop that I go. I mean, obviously I don't go like every single day. There was a while where I was going like 2 or 3 times a week. And like, I still go there. Like it's still, I think, my go-to coffee shop ultimately. And there's always that other thought of like, I could always be doing more, but let me just bring in some other points before. And then I'll be like, this is how I could be doing more. But it's like, at some point you have to just be like, I'm doing what I'm doing. And it's like, it's either happening or it's not happening. Another thing is get a hobby. I feel like this is a big one. It's like get a hobby and then like hopefully you meet someone through that. I have hobbies. My hobbies aren't exactly the ones where I feel like men would be showing up. And like, I'm not saying, I mean, like, sure, maybe. Like, maybe men are showing up. Okay, I'm not saying that this is like an impossible feat. But I'm just saying like, my hobbies tend to be more directed towards the gays and the girls. And from what I've seen, generally more gays and girls than anything else. And I love that vibe. I'm very happy with it. It's not like I'm like, where are the men? Why are the men not showing up to my contemporary class or my jazz class or my ballet class? But it's not that I don't have hobbies. I have hobbies. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I feel like these are the two that stood out to me because I was like, see, but I'm sort of kind of doing that. But then there's always that thought of like, I could be doing more. Like, I could be a regular at more places. Instead of being a regular at one coffee shop, I could be a regular at 5 coffee shops. And then every day of the week, I'm going to a different coffee shop, but they see me every single week and they know me, something of that sort. And then with the hobbies, of course, I could be like, I should take up more hobbies. And then maybe if I'm really trying to be smart here, like I should take up hobbies where men might be present. But see, like I'm not, again, with the whole decentering men kind of thing, like I'm not going to live my life to find a man. That's not any interest to me. I want to live my life how I want to live my life. And the hope is that eventually, somehow, some way, by just simply living my little life and enjoying it, I cross paths with someone that just happens to be compatible with me and it somehow works out. Yay. Now, the funny thing is, I guess like here I am kind of feeling discouraged and being like, but it's just never going to happen because like, look, I've been doing it for so long and like nothing's happened. Is that I've only been technically doing it for 2 months. I've only properly been living my life and putting myself out there for 2 months. In those 2 months, I've made new friends. That's another thing, I think. Friend of a friend kind of thing, like meet new people, they can introduce you. And I always think about that too. I'm kind of like, you know, you never know. It's not even that they necessarily have someone for me, but they might know someone who then knows someone, you know, kind of thing. Like, so it's a good thing. It's a good thing we're doing the friendship thing. That's not a bad thing, okay? Like, you know, I like to think that maybe I'm investing towards something actually happening with all these different experiences. I'm trying to remember, I think those are like the three ones that I was like, this, yeah, like that kind of makes sense. But it's essentially all these tips are generally like kind of no-brainer things. Like you could probably figure this out yourself. And it's not like someone's like, this is exactly how you do it, which makes sense because I feel like organic dating, it's kind of like there's a lot of chance in it too. Oh, probably another one is like actually like approach people, which this is like my last resort. Like, I think if I ever really, really get desperate, then I'll start approaching people. But this is not something that it's not something that comes naturally to me. And it's not something that I'm particularly inclined to do. I've done it before. Obviously, it went like decently well where, you know, he ended up asking me on a date. So like I've had a positive experience with it, thank God. But the thing is, I just don't really want to do that. Like, I just don't want to, I think that would take a lot of nerve from me. And I just haven't gone there. Like, I haven't hit a breaking point where I'm like, you know what? F it. What do I have to lose? Let me just go do it. I would love to get there though. That would be kind of fun. Cause sometimes I'm like, I wish I was more courageous with that stuff. Like, I wish I could just be the person who's so extroverted and outgoing and confident that they don't even think twice about who they're talking to or who they go up to or who they start a conversation with. I wish, but I'm not, okay? And I do love myself, so we'll give her grace. Anyways, obviously there's this frustration because I'm like, it hasn't happened yet. And I'm not saying that it never will, but I'm kind of like, I guess I have wished that it already happened so I could kind of get this whole thing over with. Except I'm not like that. You know, that's, I feel like I have to like contradict everything I say so that people aren't like, oh my God, she's so desperate. She's so desperate. Anyways, so then I brought this up to one of my friends. We were hanging out and I was like, yeah, like I had therapy, and she was like, Slay, I love that. And then I was like, and then I started welling up, and she was like, oh, and we start talking about it. And what I'm trying to do is get her, okay, so she's in a relationship. I feel like every person in a relationship ever says this, because I've had this conversation with other friends before and then nothing came out of it. But I have a little bit of hope here that she might not find me someone, but might be able to direct me in the right direction, if that makes sense. Because she's someone who seemingly is involved with a number of different things. And obviously, like, we, prior to like getting to know each other, we had no overlap. I think the other problem is like, if I have overlap with someone, then I automatically kind of think they probably won't be able to help me, because what they could present me with is possibly something that I already am aware of, if that makes sense. Like, Christine was telling me about this app called Friend of a Friend, and she was like, yeah, like it syncs up, or like essentially it gives you access to your friend's contacts, people in their contacts. And she was like, I feel like you would like this. And I was like, okay, this is kind of an interesting concept. Let me just look through my contacts. So I started scrolling through my contacts and I looked through all of them, and I'm assuming it's like 85% girls. So that's not helping anyone, or at least not her, okay, in this situation. And then 15% guys. But then I was like looking at all the guys and I was like, these essentially are all guys from UCLA. I feel like that's not what we're going for here, and vice versa. And so I kind of was like, I actually don't really like the concept of this app, because I feel like it would just kind of bring us back to square one ultimately. Like, I don't know who, I don't know, in my mind I have this like limiting belief that like whoever is in Christine's contacts is kind of like off limits to me or something like that. I don't know, something like, I don't know, I just, I cannot see how this could actually work. Okay, that's just it. That's how my mind is going. But with this new friend I have, and I'm not going to call her a new friend, we've known each other for a while now. With this friend I have, it's like, I know no one in her life. I have yet to meet her family. I've met her boyfriend, but like, I've yet to meet her family. But I'm thinking here, like, okay, there's her and she knows people, and she went to college here, so like, she knows people. And then she also has a boyfriend who knows people, and she has a sister who goes to college here as well, who knows people. So like, ultimately, somehow through the web of webs, I don't know, I might actually meet someone through her, and not like in a I'm trying to set you up way, just we go do something together spontaneously and she knows someone and she's like, oh, like, let me introduce you, and voila, like something. Like, it's so funny because when you really think about it, the concept of actually meeting someone is seemingly easy. It just takes, in a way, like luck and chance. It's like the stars really have to align there. Anyways, I was telling her and she was like, okay, here's what I'm thinking. She was like, my sister does a surf club. I also, one of the first times we hung out, we somehow got onto this topic and I started to explain my type, which, by the way, I just made a TikTok about this and the comments are so funny because it's like the automatic assumptions. And I'm like, I never said that. Someone was like, you just want a 10 out of 10 and like, you have to work for that kind of thing. And I was like, when did I say I wanted a 10 out of 10? I don't think I actually do want a 10 out of 10. Like, I just want someone who cares about me. And when I meant like, oh, I have a specific type, I meant the kind of guys that I go for, but it's not in terms of rating. Like, I'm not like, I need a 10 out of 10 or like, I need a 5 out of 10. Or maybe I should actually reveal. I've been so hesitant about revealing this because I'm like, people are going to hate me for it, but it's kind of stupid. Like, this is just sort of my type. And I'm not saying that like I'm opposed to people outside of my type. It's just generally in the past, the people that I've been attracted to fall under the specific category. And the people that I generally seek out, or I guess envision myself with, fall into this category. With that being said, have I been attracted to / had experiences with people outside of that category? Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's just like, in general, this category dominates. Maybe we'll get to that later. Maybe you guys will find out. So I was like telling her my type, and she was like, oh, you know what? My dad works at this company, and there's this guy. I've met him before a couple of times. He's really nice. He's 27. He's exactly your type. And I was like, at first I was kind of skeptical. She was like explaining, and I was like, okay, I'm a little scared as to what you're going to show me. So she shows me a picture, and I was like, he's really cute. And from what she's explaining, like other things related, I'm like, okay, this seems like someone that I could be interested in, just like based off of basic characteristics. Like, obviously you're gonna have to first judge off of the superficial things. What's important ultimately is whether you can really connect with that person, you feel like they are genuine, but you're not gonna know that until you actually meet them. So when it comes down to like, it's like the dating app, like the first thing you're gonna see is their picture, who they are, what they look like, and you're going to automatically judge off of that. Then obviously you're going to get some minor details about them from their profile, maybe a little bio, maybe they'll answer a little question, you'll be like, oh, that's okay, yeah, I can rock with that. But besides that, like, what you know about them is completely surface level, and it isn't until you dig deeper and probably like properly meet them in person that you actually get to understand the scope of the human being that you have connected with or that you are looking at. But, you know, we have to start somewhere, right? So I was like, okay, he's cute. And she was like, oh, you know, like they're doing this event in April. Unfortunately, it is a 5K run or something of that sort. And I'm sorry, but I do no K runs. You will not catch me running. And I was like, oh, yay. That sounds really fun. I would hate that, respectfully. Like, I'll come support, but like, is that even an option? That doesn't seem like an option here. So, you know, like if I really wanted to, like, okay, we had this conversation a month ago or something like that. If I really wanted to, I could be like, hey, remember when we had this conversation? Is that something that's still on? Like, is there a way that you could work some magic and like introduce me to him kind of thing? I haven't done that. Could I do that? Sure. Might I do that? I don't know. Maybe. But anyways, we were talking about it a little bit more, and she was like, it's a good thing I know your type though, because I have a specific type and it's different from yours. And so like my automatic thing would be going for those kind of guys, like seeking out those kind of guys for you. But now that I know, I can seek appropriately. And I was like, I really appreciate the effort you're putting into this, because this is like really helpful. And again, I feel like so many times you have the friends who are in a relationship and they're like, I'm such a good wing woman, or like, I'm gonna help you find someone. And then you feel like they don't actually, which like, I'm not saying that anyone's obliged to. It's just kind of like, if you say you're gonna help, then I'm getting excited here, because obviously it's not going too well, me, myself, and I doing this. So I'm excited. I'm like, okay, you might have something that can help me, whether it's connections, whether it's the ability to confidently like approach people and be like, hey, my friend thinks you're cute kind of thing. Like, I can't, well, I could maybe do that if it were for a friend, but I can't do that for myself. Something of that sort. I'm hoping that like you're gonna pull through, because I kind of can't do it on my own, that kind of thing. Anyways, so she was like, my sister does a surf club, and like a lot of the guys fit this criteria of yours. And I was like, I don't know if I've ever seen myself with a surfer guy, but I was like, I can't be picky right now. Like, let me at least go and experience. And then she was like, my sister has a surfboard you can use. And I was like, oh, I will not be surfing. I have surfed before. I hated it. I'm sorry. Like, I will sit on the sand. I will watch the people surf. I will cheer on, but I will not be getting into the water myself to surf, because the last time I did that, that was just... no, I came out of it and I was like, never again. So anyways, maybe I'll go to surf club with her. maybe not. You know, I'm not like, oh, we have to go do this. But, you know, if you mention it, I get a little excited. Okay, I'll have to admit. Because I'm like, okay, this is something different from what I usually do. And like, maybe it's a matter of changing things up, right? A while back, at the beginning of January, I met this girl and then I never saw her again, which was really unfortunate because I really did like hanging out with her. And I did put in the effort afterwards to try and like develop that into a friendship, but she was just not responsive. But she mentioned it when we hung out. She was like, well, we somehow started talking about dating and she has been in a relationship since high school. And like, she lives with her boyfriend now and all that. We were just talking about that kind of stuff. And I was like, yeah, you know, I have been thinking about getting back into dating, blah, blah, but like, I just don't really know how to go about it. And we were talking a little bit about like the experience of like setting up a friend slash being set up by a friend. And then she was like, well, you know, I just met this guy. He's like a friend of a friend or like my brother's friend or whatever, something like that. Would you be interested in this guy? And like, she's giving me details. And I'm like, I'm not sure. But she was like, I think you should just meet him. And I was like, okay, yeah, you know what? Keep an open mind. We'll see. Like, I would rather meet someone instead of hear details about them and then meet them. Like, I just want to get to know you personally. Like, I don't want to hear what someone else has to say about you, unless it's like obviously negative. That's a different thing. But like, I need a person in front of me to kind of decide, like, okay, do I see myself with this person or do I feel like we have a connection or whatever, instead of hearing it through someone. And she was like, well, you know, my boyfriend and I have been wanting to go to this speakeasy and we were talking to him about it. And like, he wants to go to that speakeasy too. So like, maybe we can turn that into a double date. And again, I was not genuinely thinking about dating at the time. I was just kind of like, oh, you know, it's crossed my mind, but I have no plans of doing it. But when she said that, I kind of got a little excited. I was like, that sounds kind of fun. And I was like, I'm not even going to go into it thinking, oh, like this could be someone. I was like, I'll go into it just kind of thinking like, oh, it's like someone new to me. And like, that's fun. Like I do like meeting new people and yeah, like whatever happens. And then obviously like it never happened. And I was like, okay. And I tried not to get my hopes up high when she like mentioned it. I was just like, okay, you know, in my mind, I was already telling myself like, this is probably not going to happen, but this is kind of like a fun idea. Like if it were to happen. But anyways, I was like, again, that's like kind of breaking from my routine and like putting myself in a position. And this was before I started like properly living my life. And I was like picking up the hobbies and like becoming a regular at a place and stuff like that, you know? So it was still kind of at a point where I was like, I know I'm not putting in any active effort into putting myself in the position where I could meet someone, if that makes sense. And it's funny because it's like, when I really think about it, I'm still totally uncertain as to whether I would even want that. I think at this point, it would have to come down to actually experiencing it for me to be able to decide, yeah, you know what, I think I want to continue pursuing this. Or no, actually, I judged incorrectly. Like, I'm still not at a point where I feel like I want to bring someone into my life. So anyways, point is, we keep ourselves open. And in a way, I'm looking for love, but like, I'm not looking. I'm just kind of open to it. And if love were to come by me, that would be nice. Do I kind of wish that it would come sooner rather than later? Yes. Am I trying to stay optimistic with this and not be like, it's never going to happen? Or not that it's, I don't have that mindset anymore. I just have this mindset of like, it's not going to happen for like years. Like, I'm going to be single for years. And I think that as I was talking to my therapist, I think I was realizing like, I don't know if it terrifies me. I just am like, that is a little bit unsettling to me. Like, again, I know I would be fine. And it's not a matter of that. It's just like something about the idea of being single for years on end, given the fact that I've already been single for years on end, terrifies me a little bit, or like is a bit unsettling to me. Like, I can't fully be like, I don't know. I can't explain it. Like, I've been trying to explain it, but I can't explain it. So yeah. Also, in a month-ish, I will be going on to 2 years of being single. And like, I really think that for the first year and a half, I was still kind of coming out of all of that and like discovering and exploring. And like, I definitely, especially a year, but like even that half a year afterwards, I was just very content. And I was like, I don't want to disrupt the peace that I have. But now I feel like I'm finally getting to a point where I'm like, I feel fully open and I'm not doubting it, or I'm not, I guess, kind of like trying to self-sabotage in a way where I'm like, oh, but it would be nice, but I also don't want it whatsoever. I'm like, I'm just open. And like, there's so much that I would have to figure out in terms of all of this, but I'll cross that bridge when I get there. Like, there's no point of trying to like set things right now. As in, like, one thing I can think of is I don't really see myself moving away from home anytime soon. And I really still don't know whether I could see myself pursuing a relationship if I was living at home, but at least I'm open to it now. And I'm like, I would find a way to work around it if it made sense. And I'm also like, I'll cross that bridge when I get there. Like, we'll figure it out. You know, there's so many ways to go about it. And it's just like, whatever happens, happens. So yeah, I feel like I'm finally like fully open. And it's not like we're kind of like half in, half out, like 1 foot in, 1 foot out kind of thing. I will say, in the past like 2 months of me living my life, I had one experience. So I was like thinking about it in the shower and I was like, oh, I've been doing this for 2 months and like I haven't even had like a glimmer of hope kind of thing. Because I feel like part of it is also like having those glimmers of hope. Like, that's what's going to keep you going ultimately, because otherwise you're kind of going to start really getting discouraged and being like, okay, but like, it's not even like I have options, or like, not even like I've gotten close to feeling as if I might have an option, or like I might have an opportunity to meet someone kind of thing. Maybe not an option. I didn't mean an option. I meant like an opportunity to meet someone. But there was one experience. I think this was like in the middle of February. I was having the perfect Sunday, and the perfect Sunday was ending off on me going grocery shopping for the family. And I went to a grocery store that I don't usually go to, and I'm in the produce aisle and I'm kind of just minding my own business. And all of a sudden I see that there are two, and like, it's funny because when you get into the real world, like when you were in college, it's like you're constantly surrounded by people your age, and it's so normal to be around those people. And I feel like people really don't take advantage of it either. But when you're in the real world, it's kind of a rarity to see people your age. And so when you do, I feel like, oh, and I have something else to bring up actually. When you do, I feel like you're more aware, if that makes sense. You're more aware of the existence of that person. I have two examples here. First story is I'm in the produce aisle and I notice that there are these two younger men. So I'm, you know, just kind of minding my business in the produce aisle, and all of a sudden I'm like crossing paths with one of them. And I think I was like grabbing bananas and he was like also grabbing bananas, and he was like, oh, sorry. And I was like, that's fine. Then I cross paths with his friend, and his friend goes, hi, happy Sunday. And I was like, happy Sunday. And we kind of smile at each other. And I'm like, oh, interesting. It's not every day that I have a conversation with a random stranger, no matter whether they're in my age group or not. So I was kind of like, okay, this is fun. Then we just sort of go our separate paths. Then at some point, I have to get Brussels sprouts, and they're standing right in front of the Brussels sprouts. And so I kind of just like walk over and I sort of reach over for the Brussels sprouts, and I smile at the guy who talked to me. And I was just like, grab my Brussels sprouts, put it down. And then the rest of the grocery trip, I'm kind of thinking like I had a massive haul to do. I'm kind of thinking like, okay, maybe, you know, I was like, that was fun. I'm not expecting anything, but like, also, you know, they could always, or the one that talked to me, I guess, could always, you know, come find me in this grocery, or at least attempt to find me and like maybe ask for my number. Like, okay, we didn't do that at first, but who knows? Like, there's always more time. But at some point I am like in one of the aisles and I see them at self-checkout and they're checking out, and I was like, okay, missed opportunity. And it's not like I was like, oh, I want them to ask for my number, or I want to have their number, or whatever. Like, I wasn't thinking that. I was just like, this could be like an opportunity for that. But I was totally fine that it didn't happen. But that was like a little situation where I left and I was like, okay, this gives me hope. Like, I was just grocery shopping and like I crossed paths, and like that gives me a little bit of hope that like, who knows? Maybe one day I'll be grocery shopping and I'll cross paths with someone that actually like is meant to be a person that I get to know, if that makes sense. Another situation of you just notice people who are your age a lot more when you're in the real world is, as you probably know by now, I go with my mom to chemo, and I've gotten acquainted with at least some of the staff at the cancer treatment unit, and most of them are probably over the age of 30. The way I'm going to describe this is they all look like real adults to me, okay? Real adults, essentially over the age of 30, married, have kids, that kind of thing, right? And it's the same with A, the patients, and B, the caregivers. Like, I am the only, as of actually today, there was this guy in the room, or like caregiver in the room. Are we calling ourselves caregivers? Okay, whatever. There was a guy in the room next to us, but he was in the caregiver section. He was not getting treatment, if that makes sense. And I passed by their room at some point and I saw the woman, and she looked on the younger side, but I couldn't fully figure out whether this was a mother and son, or, again, I'm so bad with ages, so bad, a wife and husband situation. Especially because at some point he just like fully conked out and fell asleep. I was like, would you do that if it was your mother, or would you do that? I was like, this makes more sense if it was your mother. Like, your mom's probably like, oh, my little baby boy, he's so tired kind of thing. But like, wife, would you do that if that was your wife? Question mark. I wasn't sure, but he looked on the younger side and I was like looking at him like he was a rare bird. I was like, oh my gosh, what are you doing here? Who are you? I almost thought about going over and being like, do you want to be my friend? Because it's so rare for someone to be honestly under the age of 40, like honestly, in this cancer treatment unit. So that being said, there is this one nurse who always does my mom's vitals when she sees the doctor, and he is on the younger side. Don't know how old he is, but I'm assuming he's still in his 20s. And the funny thing is, I've been seeing him. I've been going to treatment with my mom since August that I started going, or maybe even July, I don't know, something like that, right? Like, I've been seeing this man. It's not like he just appeared out of nowhere and I was like, oh, new character, yay. But recently, I've been paying a little bit more attention to him in my mind, and I've started to think about him a little bit more. And it's funny because I'm not like, I don't know if I'm like particularly physically attracted to him, you know, like he's not the kind of guy that I would necessarily go for. But I think there's something, first off, there's something about the scarcity. And second off, he seems like a genuine guy. Okay, he's a nurse. He seems like he cares for people. Well, no duh, like he cares for people. That's his job. And like, I've seen him interact with my mom. I guess I've technically interacted with him too. Like, I've sat in conversations and sometimes added to them. It's not like he's ever asked me anything directly, but like, he'll ask things to my mom, obviously, you know, vital questions. But like, one time we were just like in the vital room and he was like, did you have breakfast? Which he usually asks. And my mom was like, yeah. And he was like, what was your favorite cereal growing up? And my mom like starts getting into this whole long-winded explanation. And I'm learning something new, by the way. I'm like, I've never heard this before. Like, she's explaining this specific, what was it? Oh, she was explaining how they put like hot chocolate into oatmeal. And I was like, I've never heard that before. Fascinating. And he's like, whoa, like, okay. So, you know, we all three are, I guess, I feel like I'm third wheeling kind of thing. Like, I'm like that friend who's like, wait for me kind of thing. But anyways, he seems like a genuine person. And I guess in the last couple of times that we've been going, I've been paying more attention, and we haven't seen him in a while because I don't think he was there the last time we went. It was about a month ago. And I guess my mom didn't see the doctor before that. So like, I don't know, it's been a hot second since I've been able to sit in the vital room with them. And in that time, I've noticed that my mind has been thinking a little bit more about, as my mom says, this young man who works at my mom's cancer treatment unit, which is like, if we were to even entertain the thought of, okay, like maybe, that sounds just so complicated. So like, I think this is more just like a fun little thing. But then also in my mind, I'm like, am I doing this simply because, you know, I am now opening myself up to finding someone, and like, again, scarcity, and also like, maybe I'm a little bored and he seems like a genuine person, like, which is not a bad thing, you know, like he seeming like a genuine person is actually a big good thing. Maybe I should be pursuing that, because how often are you able to tell off of someone's character that they're a genuine person, right? Without even knowing them. I don't even know his name. I don't even think my mom knows his name. She always refers to him as the young man. So like, we don't know his name. I think I should ask him his name next time. But it's funny because today I saw him. We didn't go into the vital room, but I was like, he's here. Like last time I was like, I don't think he's in this building, like he's not here. And I brought it up days later to my mom, and I was like, oh, you know who we didn't see last time? That young man who does your vitals. And she was like, should I ask him if he has a girlfriend? And I was like, clocked. This woman clocked me. Oh my God. Which actually is not all that surprising though, because a while back I started trying to train my mom to find me someone. I'm trying to do everything to not have to put in that effort myself. If that makes sense. So a while back, I kind of was thinking about it and I was like, my mom works in an area where there are seemingly a lot of eligible young bachelors. Maybe I can put my mom to work. Maybe she can help me out. And so I was like, Mom, if you ever see a nice young man, feel free to go up to them and see what's up and let them know that you have a daughter. And I was sort of hoping that like maybe my mom actually will do this for me. And she hasn't. She hasn't done anything. Okay. I think she made the connection and she clocked me right away. And I was like, okay, yay. Anyways, today, obviously. Okay, because do I have a crush? No, I feel like this is not even a crush. I think this is just you would do it too for a check kind of thing. I don't know. Like, it's not a crush. It's just, it's something under a crush. It's like I'm aware. Anyways, today I did see it. He was there. And I kept crossing paths with him. I was crossing paths in the sense that he was seeing me and I was aware that he was there. But we were not like making eye contact or saying hi. Like, for example, there was one given moment. So I went to the bathroom twice. And like the first time, okay, his vital room is right in front of the guest bathroom. And so like the first time, I think as I was like going to the bathroom, he was just like closing the door. And like I noticed and I was like, he might have seen me. And the second time, something like that too. Like he was like ushering someone in, or I don't know, something of that sort. So I was like, he probably saw me both times, but like we didn't make eye contact. Like he was seeing my backside, but he knew who I was. He must know because my mom was doing chemo. I was just sitting in the little area that I usually sit in and I'm working away at my computer. Like I am not paying attention to what's going on around me. And all of a sudden I look up. And like, there's a curtain that's like closing off my mom's room so that people can't necessarily look in. But there's a little divide. And I look up and he's literally standing in that divide in my direction. He might have actually been looking at me. I don't know. Because the moment I saw him, I automatically kind of just like got flustered and I like looked away. And then I was like, oh, what if he saw me like look and then look away? Like, is that weird? And then I kind of look again. At this point, he had like turned his head. Obviously, I'm not thinking like, oh, this man's in love with me. I'm just thinking like he probably noticed that I was there. And obviously he knows who, like these people know who I am at this point. So like they can make that connection of like, oh, this is this patient's daughter. Like we've met before. So I feel like I'm just kind of overthinking it in my head, but this man has now crossed my mind. Okay. Before that, he was not even a thought. Now he's a thought. Okay. But again, if we think about the situation and also like, where is it going? Nowhere, right? Like ultimately my mom's a patient of his and I'm just the caregiver and like that's the end of the story and like okay, cool. So that's on the topic of people around your age. So I think another thing in my mind, how I view things, is I think I have this idea that the more selective I am, the higher the chances of it working out. And this is not just with dating. I actually use this primarily with jobs. I think I mentioned this in my last episode where I was like, I'm not applying to jobs anymore. That's a little bit of a lie. I just am not actively applying. But every so often, I'll see a job, it catches my eye. I'm like, you know what? I'm willing to put the work into this. Let me write that cover letter. Let me get whatever they need me to get to submit this application. Let me put in the effort. When I put in the effort, I'm like, I'm really going to put in the effort here. Like, I'm not just going to like half-ass this kind of thing. I'm going to put in the effort, at least with this idea that because I'm being more selective about what I'm applying to and because I'm, I guess, like quality over quantity kind of thing, I have a better chance of getting this job. And I think every time I put myself in the situation when I'm applying to jobs, I go into it thinking like this is the one that's going to work out. Like I mentioned it in my last episode, there was that job that I applied to. I put my heart and soul into it and I was like, it's this or nothing kind of thing. That was like a situation where I was like, I'm putting my eggs in one basket and I'm being so selective. Like I'm not going to apply to anything else after this, which I know is not a good idea. But like point is, I was like, there's nothing else that's meeting what I want here. This is it. This is my target. This is exactly like, you know, when you know you have one shot and like whatever. Point is, I was like, like, it's this one. Anyways, that kind of failed for me. So that mindset is probably not a good one to have. I should probably reevaluate, but that is kind of the mindset that I've been having. And I feel like, again, with dating, I mean, obviously less so here because it's not like I'm even applying myself to anyone, if that makes sense, or like applying effort to try and meet someone. But I think I also have this mindset of like, if I'm more selective, higher the chances. But I feel like in both cases, I think long run, quality over quantity, short term. Okay. Yeah. Short term, quantity over quality. And it's like, are you going to have the patience to wait? Are you going to have the patience to wait for a job, as I've had to? Are you going to have the patience to wait for a significant other? And this can probably go for a number of other things in life. You know, when they say good things take time, like it's one of those situations. Are you willing to spend the time for a good thing? Or are you looking for kind of like a quick fix, if that makes sense? And I guess, you know, I also just for what is more convenient to me, quality over quantity. I tried the quantity thing with like the job stuff. That was a little much for me. I guess in theory, I've also tried the quantity thing in terms of like dating. Like before I ever got into my first relationship, like I was on the dating apps and I feel like that's quantity over quality for sure. And obviously eventually it led me to someone. So yay. So obviously I can look back and be like, but see, when I tried quantity over quality, like it actually worked out. But was that my person long term? No. And so one could argue maybe if it's quality over quantity, then it's going to be my person long term. Who knows? You know, maybe that's also just a silly thought. But yeah, that is something that I was thinking about too. I was like, maybe if I'm, you know, I feel like I have this idea in my head of like, if I'm more selective, then like my chances are higher, but that might not actually be it. And I think I need to like not rely on that so heavily. Okay, anyways, I know I've been talking for like 5 hours, so I'm gonna cut it here, but that sort of just encompasses the thoughts that I've been having, the therapy session, the thoughts that came after that, the discussions that came after that, some experiences I've had, me living my life, but also, and in the back of my mind, always having this thought of like, what experience or what thing or what place or what person is going to lead me to finding my person, if that makes sense. So yeah, anyways, I guess we're just in it for the long haul, you and me, and we'll see what happens, because I know something will happen eventually. Like as my therapist always said, because when I first started going to her, I was like, oh, like if I ever meet someone again. She was like, well, you will meet someone again. You're so young. It's bound to happen. And I was like, okay, you're right. I should stop saying if, and I should say when. And I think that goes for anything in life. It's not about if. If you think something's going to happen, it will happen. It's just, when will it happen? Sometimes it's going to happen completely off of the timeline that we had created for ourselves, or completely off of what we wish it would be. And that's okay. That's something we have to accept, but it doesn't mean that it's never going to happen. And I try not to have such a limiting belief of, oh, but like it hasn't happened yet, so it'll never happen. I try and be optimistic and say it hasn't happened yet. That means that there's still that opportunity for it to happen. And it's just a matter of when will it happen. And that I don't know, and I can't say. And that's the, I guess, frustrating part for me as someone who isn't the most patient person. But I think there's also some excitement in that, because it's like, I still don't know. The world is my oyster in that sense. There's so much opportunity for like, in what situation it happens and what is it. And again, this goes for a job, this goes for meeting someone, this goes for future living situation. Like obviously I think that I'm gonna be at home for a really long time. not a really long time, but like a good while. Like I don't see myself moving out in 2025 actually, which is kind of insane. Never thought I would say that, but like I think I'm still gonna be here until definitely at least the fall, but probably longer than that. But at the same time, I do believe that at some point I will move out and I will have a place of my own again, and I will probably move to a completely different city, maybe even a different country. And it's like, when that happens, I wonder what it will be, where I will move to, what my place will look like, when it'll happen, that kind of stuff. And only time will tell, and we shall see. So thank you so much for listening. And I hope that maybe the little last bit of it gave you some food for thought, because I think it's easy to have those limiting beliefs and to get discouraged very easily. I am right there with you, but things will happen. It's just, you never know. And this, again, everything. I could apply this to content creation too. So anyways, thank you so much for listening. Bye. Love you all.